The Real Estate Revolution is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary. And all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important.
With the latest in real estate news, you can learn all the facts that will keep you on track and use them any way you choose.
And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera, and her co-host, Scott Forcino. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution.
Good evening and happy Monday. I'm Victoria Riva De Nera, president of the Northeast Division for Exit Realty Corp International. I'm also a licensed real estate broker in New York State, and I've been in this business for the past 25 years. I'm here in the studio of WFAS, locked in the room here with my co-host Scott Forcino and a lot of boys. I have seven boys here. It's sort of like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, right?
I'm grumpy.
You're grumpy. Grumpy on your feet. You're standing again, Scott.
That's right. I think when I'm on my feet. I'm Scott Forcino, associate broker with Exit Realty Group in Elmsford, New York.
So what is going on here? Week after week, I find myself here in a man cave. So if you're a woman out there and you're listening to our show and you'd like to be a guest on the Real Estate Revolution, please contact me at victoriariva.com. I'm serious.
We got to put ESPN on and serve beer, so real man cave.
Yes, this is absolutely a man cave. I definitely need some females in the room. Well, we have a great show here planned tonight, right, Scott?
Yep, we have two groups of professionals, and we're going to speak on the issue of privacy, identity theft, your use of your credit and business credit, and how it all plays out in the lending market.
We also have the pleasure of having two guest hosts with us today, and that is Jeff Bailey and Anthony Petruzziello. Right? Did I say that right?
You did. Perfect, actually.
Ah, there you go. Now, Jeff Bailey is the branch manager for Annie Mac in Fairlawn, New Jersey, and Anthony is the production manager, and that's out in Bergen County, correct?
Correct. Glad to be here.
All right. Thank you for being here. We really, really appreciate it. So, it's been a busy week here, Scott, since we've last met. Pope visited. President is in this week.
Uh-huh.
Right? We had a blood moon eclipse last night.
I saw it. Who saw it?
I saw it.
I saw it from 10 to 11. It was a little bit cool and crisp.
Yeah, very nice. You had a grand opening.
We had a big grand opening. Exit Realty Group is now open for business. We are located in Elmsford, but the party was at the Knollwood Country Club. We had a standing room only crowd. The founder and chairman, Steve Morris, came and gave us the reasons why Exit is the next generation of real estate.
Yeah, it was a very, very good event. You did a great job. And I definitely need a vacation after all that. I'm thinking of just going to the mall. You know, just going shopping. Shopping is a good thing. Yeah. Speaking of shopping, 34.5% of the money that the average American takes home is spent on, guess what?
Household stuff?
Interest. On credit cards, home loans, auto loans. That's a pretty high number, right?
That's a high cost of money.
It sure is. Right? Spending money on others, they say, is what makes you happy. It brings happiness. It's better to spend money on other people than on yourself. Right. Do you agree with that?
I'm willing to help you out there.
So. You want me to buy you something? Yeah, see, my daughter likes that stat, too.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. But the key to happiness is spending your money on experiences rather than on possessions.
I agree. A vacation versus a new suit.
Yeah. So here's what they say. They say if you have $10 in your pocket and no debt, you're wealthier than 25% of Americans.
Hmm.
You agree with that?
I guess so, based on the loans, outstanding mortgages and credit cards, and 29.99%, I guess.
Yeah.
Never get out of that.
Well, the key to the statement that I just said is really the no debt.
No debt.
Yeah. If you have $10 in your pocket and no debt,
that means you're not below water. It means you're above water.
That's right. There aren't too many people who can say that. So studies show that arguing about money is what is the top predictor of what?
Divorce.
Divorce. That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Not that that happened to me or
anything. No, that definitely didn't happen to you, right? No one in this room, right? All right. 20% of women in the U.S. earn at least $5,000 more than their spouse.
20%?
20%. So, yeah, turn that around. Okay. Go ahead. I know what you're thinking, standing on your feet.
80%.
Yeah, there you go.
Can I get a list of those women, please?
Yep. If you are a woman that's making more than your husband and you're unhappy, call the station. Paul would like to talk to you. All right, so I gave you a little plug there, Paul.
I got a tall, blue-eyed gentleman here.
There you go. Women control over $20 trillion of the worldwide spending.
Mm-hmm. Happy yeah. wife, happy life?
Happy wife, happy life, for sure. As per a Harvard study on female economy, women make the decisions in most purchases. 94% of home furnishings, they make the decision. 92% of vacations, they make that decision.
Uh-huh. Sounds familiar.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes? 91% of home purchases, we all know that as realtors, right?
Sure.
Right?
Love the kitchen, they love
loan
the
offices. Right? Appeal to the wife. 60% of car purchases. 51% of consumer electronics.
Hmm.
That's
surprised
surprising.
By that one.
Yeah. What about golf trips? 100% of men pick those.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. The four businesses where women are most likely to spend money. Number one is food. Number two is fitness. Number three is beauty. And number four is apparel.
Was it fashion? Sure.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Shoes?
That's where I spend my money. Okay. Well, that's apparel. I spend most of my money on shoes, but I think you already know that. So we're talking about credit card debt today. Among many other topics. So, the very first credit card was created because of the embarrassment of a man who forgot his wallet when he went on a business dinner. Do you know that story, Scott?
No, is it Diners Club?
It is Diners Club. So you do know the story.
I heard it a little bit.
Yes, yes. He had a business dinner at New York's Major's Cabin Grill. Are you familiar with that?
No.
It was before your time, right?
Yeah.
It was back in February 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And at that embarrassing moment, that's when he decided that there should be a credit card. There should be some sort of an alternative to money, to carrying cash. And he created the Diners Club. And in 1951, there were 20,000 Diners Club cardholders. Pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. In one
Does
year.
Diners Club still exist?
I'm not sure. Haven't seen one in a while. That and Carte Blanche, I think, went south.
Yes, no more?
Yeah. Well, and the worst thing that happened was that they were actually charge cards, so you had to pay them off in full at the
That's
end of each month.
That's exactly right. You see, you're so smart, Paul. That's why we have you here today. So most people, and I thought, Scott, I thought that you would debate this, but you knew Diners Club. I figured you would tell me it was American Express.
Well, there's Discover, another one that was early.
Right.
I knew Diners Club. There used to be a good commercial. Who remembers that commercial as a kid's?
Well, you're much older than everyone in the room.
I'm 35.
Before my time, Scott, I'm sure.
All right. So American Express was actually formed in 1850, so a lot of people think that they were the first credit card or charge card, but they were not. Back then, they were in a different business altogether. They were in deliveries. They were competing with the Postal Service.
Mm.
And they were also specializing in money orders and in traveler's checks. But they are number one in something that is related to credit cards. Do you know what that is?
No.
Come on, you're thinking on your feet, Scott.
I would guess breaches?
No. They were the first ones to come out with the plastic credit card. Prior to that, it was cardboard. Like
cardboard,
the old library
cardboard.
Cards. Can you imagine?
Easy to cut up, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Right? So anyway, we have a very, very special guest with us today, Paul Oster. And Paul Oster is the consumer credit advocate and FICO pro, and he is considered the nation's credit repairman. He is a credit expert who has appeared on numerous networks, including WSJ, Fox, Business News, CBS, ABC, NBC, and Pix 11. He's written for Kiplinger's, WSJ, and The Daily News. Mr. Oster is the founder and CEO of Better Qualified LLC. Paul has 20 years, actually more than 20 years, right? Over 20 years of experience in both the insurance and banking industries, and he's dedicated his life as a consumer advocate. Paul also serves on the board of directors for the American Red Cross, and his humor and intelligence is highly sought after, and we're no different. We wanted him here today, and we have him. We have you here in our man cave at WFAS. Welcome, Paul.
Glad to be here.
All right. Let's talk about this big issue, this identity theft, and what's going on in the world. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. What I have some stats here that says that the number one state for identity theft is, don't say it, Paul. Let's see. Let's put Scott on the in the hot seat again. Do you know?
I think Florida?
That would be correct.
Let's see.
I think we were both a little taken aback that the number two state was Washington State, and
Washington.
Oregon's up there in the top five, which Florida makes sense because, unfortunately, seniors are now being preyed upon, just like children, you know. So that's an unfortunate stat. That's the reason why Florida is the number one state.
Yeah, I could see Florida being the number one state because of the seniors, but why Washington State and Oregon?
I don't know. I don't know the
Maybe
answer,
the marijuana
but I will
now
find
Washington?
Out.
I don't know. Marijuana legal?
Could have something to do with that.
Yeah. I don't know. Florida, I would think.
Are you
all
stereotyping?
I'm just. Yeah, I mean, Florida, all kinds of. You ever see cops? All weird things happen in Florida. It's a known. You know, wacky place.
All right,
we're
not on that subject today, Scott. We're talking about identity theft, and 17.6 million Americans were victims of identity theft in 2014, according to government stats. So I want to turn this over to Paul, and let's hear about all this, and how can we protect ourselves, and what is going on in this world?
Well, 2014 was the year of the data breach. We had 783, let's call them major data breaches, where people lost sensitive information that pertains to their identity. And the problem with that is we became almost numb to it because you heard about it every other week. There was a data breach. And people didn't do what they should have done, like changing their PINs and passwords. It's something that's so easy, but people refuse to do it because it's inconvenient. But I will tell you that the effects of identity theft are far more inconvenient than changing your PINs and passwords and having to remember multiple PINs and passwords, because that is something that I would certainly recommend, is that not only you change your password every month, which this is usually where I become the most unpopular guy in the room, but you're changing it and you have multiple passwords. You have a different password for every account. And when you talk about all of our social media sites and online banking and our corporate servers, you know, you could be looking at 10 to 15 different passwords that you're changing on a monthly basis. But again, if you don't do that, you're leaving yourself wide open.
Now, I have a question for you. I've heard that the most popular password is your pet's name. Is that true?
It is one of them. Okay. Hello, goodbye, password.
Password. That's very unique.
Yeah, very unique. So the idea, again, is there are free softwares out there that can help you generate these passwords that are very hard for the identity thieves who use very sophisticated softwares to try and guess your software. And look, social media is the easiest place for them to go. I know the name of your pet as soon as I go on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I know where you live. I know your maiden name.
My
I know
birthday.
Your address, and I
yep.
know your birthday. So that's four out of the five pieces of the puzzle that I would need to assume your identity.
All right. As you're saying that, I'm watching Jeff here, and he's nodding. You know, you're concerned about social media, right, and all that information that's out there?
Sure, it is a lot to be out there, and even if you have a protected page, you could still view a lot of someone's personal information on that page. So the highest privacy settings on Facebook are so, encrypted, you really don't know how to figure that out when you were actually trying to protect yourself. So, you know, I actually Googled a few times how to protect yourself on Facebook, and I view myself as a non-friend. I still see all my stuff.
Yep.
So it's kind of concerning.
And the default setting for Facebook is public. So most people don't change that setting, and then all of your information is left open for anybody to see, not just your friends.
But even having it just be there for your friends, I mean, you are giving out a lot of information, like you said, birthday, pet name, maiden name, all your kids' names, their birthdays, because they can always click in and see their page. That's a lot of information that's out there. How do we protect ourselves against any kind of fraud that's happening on social media?
Well, I'm the first person to say that there's no such thing as identity theft protection, believe it or not. I don't, you know, look at the guy from LifeLock who went on there and he had his own stuff stolen numerous times. All of our information is in a million different databases all over the world, as a matter of fact. So early detection is the key. You know, we live in this world today where, unfortunately, again, I think everyone needs to be involved in a credit monitoring service. You should sign up. All of your financial institutions now offer account alerts. So you can set different filters that would allow you to be alerted if someone were to try and open a new account or exceeded a spending limit or something like that. So go ahead and take advantage of certainly the credit monitoring and the services that your financial institutions offer.
We're going to come right back to you on that. If you are a caller and you'd like to jump in on this discussion, please give us a call at 914-693-5700. Again, that's 914-693-5700. We're just going to go to a break and we'll come back right back to you, Paul.
Great. Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO Pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138, or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
And we're back. Again, if you're a caller and you'd like to join in on the conversation, our topic today is identity theft, and the number here is 914-693-5700. Scott, you had something you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, there's always a big issue in the closing process where, I guess, before buyers find the home, they should be pre-qualified. I want you to speak on that. And then what level of security, gentlemen, is afforded to the prospective client when they make that application. And I wonder if it's okay for Paul to kind of critique that approach. So, I mean, brand new, I'm interested in a home, and I need to get pre-qualified. That's the right approach that realtors ask us to take. How does that work?
Well, first and foremost, obviously in today's world, everything is getting done by email, over the telephone, or on the Internet. The one thing Annie Mac is very careful about is making sure that everything is encrypted. Any correspondence we have with clients, any correspondence we have with realtors, if we're sending sensitive information back and forth, whether it be a W-2, a pay stub, those documents are 100% encrypted. what Dad's going to do is if anybody, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry comes over to my desk, sits down, and happens to get into my mainframe, it can sit down and look in my email. They're not going to be able to look in and see other people's information. That's the most important thing. So any of our clients can feel very secure about that. The other main thing is that, you know, we do our best to meet in person every now and again. If we do and we collect sensitive information, again, W-2s, pay stubs, tax returns, that information, once uploaded into our secured system, is shredded 100% of the time. We do not keep paper files. Paper files are...
So
90s. Very 90s, dangerous. Number one, yeah. And it's dangerous. Anybody can walk into anybody's office.
So
90s. And they can grab information. So we're very careful about that. So that's really the front end. So I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Well, what you said is absolutely, you know, integral in terms of data encryption. So that's the number one way that things are being, identities are being stolen right now. And I will tell you that I know there are numerous banks that don't follow those same protocols. So kudos to Annie Mac, and I know that from working with you guys, that you are taking those types of steps to protect people's identities, because it's just too easy if you're not using encrypted softwares to protect emails. The number one thing happens, people attach their Social Security card, their driver's license, or the 1003, which has all the information that I would need to assume someone's identity in 50 seconds.
Absolutely.
Jeff, you are a branch manager for...
Yes, I am, yep.
So what's that process? So someone applies, walk me through from all the way to the closing, and the who has that information and how is it handled?
Well, first and foremost, you know, all our employees are background checked, screened to make sure there's no, you know, issues in their you know, character as far as handling those documents. The loan officer, the processors will have access to those files. Everything stays at the office. Everything's locked down at the end of the night. As far as any type of cleaning people coming in, it's all monitored and supervised. There's no one in that office that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. There's security cameras as well as, you know, basically we have obviously an ADT system that lets us know who come in and out of the building with, you know, some key cards and things like that. So, you know, you apply for the mortgage. You know, you could do it online, in person, like Anthony just said. And everything from, you know, from start to finish is monitored over, make sure nothing else is leaked out to the client. Everything's always encrypted via email or our secured server, which we use to basically process the entire file from origination to the funding to the secondary markets. So everything's basically under lock and key.
From the consumer's perspective, the buyer, how about the settlement agent across the country, the title company or the bank attorney? Do they have access to that information, or is it, I mean, does it stop short of actually getting to the closing?
It'll stop short of getting to the closing. They'll have access, obviously, to the closing documents, but they're obviously pre-screened and approved by our company. They need to have proper insurances to do business with us and things like that. So there's nothing that we have had an issue with so far.
I want to comment from these three gentlemen. What about this new TRID that's come in? We've heard that about that, but what kind of extra layer of identity protection does that afford, if any?
Go ahead, take that.
Yeah, I mean, TRID's really good news for the consumer. What they're going to find first and foremost is the same information that they've already gotten previously is going to be delineated in a more clear-cut, condensed manner. So instead of looking at five or six disclosures to find the same information, you're going to have two disclosures to get that information. So it's really going to make it easy to sit down with your attorney, with your loan officer, and go through things. The biggest thing why this is going to be important for any consumers, they're going to have a good 3 days prior to closing to view their settlement statement. This is important because all the charges, whether it be third-party, bank fees, title, taxes, they're going to have an opportunity to sit, digest that information for 3 days, ask questions, have those answered, and be able to go into closing really with a clear head. From a perspective of identity theft, you know, really nothing is going to change from that standpoint. This is, you know, kind of a business as usual from our standpoint, but just more simpler disclosure to the client.
And I just want to mention, too, you know, Starbucks on the open public Wi-Fi is not the place to sit and review these documents. You know, if you're saving stuff to your mobile device, you know, you have to make sure that your mobile device, you know, you have to enhance the security features. And whether it's a notepad or even your phone, most of us do everything on our phones nowadays, but we don't take the time to enhance the security features. Our phones come with very, very little antiviral and malware software. The good news is there's actually a bunch of free apps that are out there, you have to always go to one of the stores, whether it's the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. Never download an app unless it's from one of those stores. And, you know, you have the major players, Norton, Avast, they all offer free softwares that you can download onto your phone that will give your mobile device an enhanced security feature. But again, if you're on an open public Wi-Fi, you should not be doing your mobile banking, and you should not be reviewing sensitive documents.
Okay, so I have a question. So now let's say someone's identity has been tampered with,
mm-hmm.
and they come to you for a mortgage.
Yep.
Can they get a mortgage?
They can. And the way that they would do that, you know, unfortunately we've had situations like this before where someone's identity was stolen. One of the things we train our people to do as mortgage professionals is to review their credit report. And that includes a line-by-line review of every trade line. And there have been a few situations in my 15-year career where we'll go through something and we'll find, let's say, a Visa card that the customer has no idea about. That Visa card is delinquent, it's maxed out, and it's been that way for 2 years. And as a result, their credit score has plummeted. So, yes, we work very closely with our credit providers. We can provide information back to them, basically stating that this information or this credit line is not our borrowers. We can get them removed and get their credit rescored.
And how long does something like that take?
We've been able to do it inside of a few weeks. Depending upon the information we can get from the client, absolutely.
Paul, speak to that, please.
Well, this is
repair and restoration.
This is so important because I will tell you, you know, we've been doing this for 10 years, and we just had a case where one of our clients had come to us, and they were actually their status was deceased. And it actually took us about 6 months. We ended up suing two out of the three credit bureaus because they refused to change the status of this gentleman's situation. He's alive and well, and we had notarized documents and all this stuff. So, again, working with a trusted lender like Annie Mac gives you the ability to do certain things that other people can't do. So the rapid rescore being one of them, there it is. The situation's here. We have notarized documents. This guy's alive. He's well. And, you know, 3 to 5 business days, you could do the rapid, and maybe it takes you a couple of weeks as opposed to a couple of months or a couple of years. The average person that's not working with some type of professional banker or credit monitoring service spends about 2 years trying to undo the damage that has been done from fraud.
Do your underwriters understand that? I mean, Anthony's quick answer is they can, but what happens when your credit score plummets or your accounts are clearly not yours? Do they have any kind of tolerance or leeway to accept the fact that someone is alive and or even these loans were not theirs?
Yeah, I mean, one of the best things about Annie Mac is we have Make Sense Underwriting. I mean, we do have a secondary market that we do answer to, but what we actually have is Fannie Direct and Ginnie Mae, which actually allows our underwriters to write to those guidelines and make sense decisions. We have a credit committee that gets together. We'll make a decision on a tweener, a type of file, maybe a credits challenge, maybe something like you just
said. What's an example of that as far as credit scores are concerned?
Maybe a lower credit score.
Which is?
580.
Wow.
On an FHA side or 620 and above, like 620 mark for a Fannie Mae or traditional mortgage type thing. But they actually have the ability to sit down and say, okay, we think this borrower has the capacity to pay, and we feel comfortable lending to them, at our low rates. So, we do have situations that come up like that. So, yes, the underwriters are on board with that philosophy as well.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. I had a situation, Paul, that just happened to me just this last week. I had a doctor's office that left a message at my home saying that I had scheduled an appointment that I did not schedule. And I called them to make sure that no one was using my identity. And the girl who answered the phone said, oh, no, you don't have to worry about that because identity theft in the medical field is not very common. And we tie everything back to your date of birth. Obviously, she's wrong, I know. So maybe you can help me out with that and maybe you can help her out or anyone else.
One of the you know, startling statistics to me is that over 50% of all debt on credit reports is actually medical debts. And most of them are in collections because you have third-party billing companies that are not communicating with doctors, hospitals. They're not verifying the information before they put it on credit reports. The good news is that the FICO, the Fair Isaac Corporation that generates our credit scores, came up with a different system and scoring system and algorithm that takes out medical collections from the credit score, and it's FICO 09. The problem with that is it'll probably be about 10 years before the banks adopt the new scoring system. Most of us are still using FICO 04, so you know that was about 11 years ago. But in the interim, when we talk about, you know, when the guys from Annie Mac looking at the credit reports, most consumers don't look at their credit reports enough. And if you don't know what's on your credit report, then how are you ever going to deal with the situation? And if you're in a, you know, the market for buying a home or renting or whatever it is, you should be monitoring your credit reports. You should be doing it all the time, you know, on a regular basis now. And I say unfortunately because you have to pay for a good service. Right. The free services that are out there are just not worth it. You know, you get what you pay for. So you have to spend, you know, about 10 bucks a month to do it. But, you know, we call it closing assurance because it might not be you. You might be paying all your bills on time, but you could have a medical collection that pops up on your credit report. Let's say they followed through with this appointment. Someone had stolen your identity, and a lot of times that's what happens. People aren't stealing IDs to necessarily take over your bank account. They're stealing IDs to have medical procedures done, and they're not going to pay for it, or they pay very little towards it, and they don't wind up paying the bills and the balance, and then the collection winds up on your credit report, and if you find that out a month before you're supposed to close on a home, it could be very difficult to get that deal done.
Right. I would imagine that would be the case. So let me ask you this. Why is it that doctors and dentists are asking for so much information when you walk into the office? Are we supposed to be giving them that information?
No, you have the ability to opt out of giving, especially your Social Security number. And doctors, a lot of them do it because that's how they've always done it. And a lot of them now do it because of billing and collections. They want to make sure that they have your Social Security number. But at the end of the day, that's your Social Security number, and you do not have to give it out. We spoke before the show about school districts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son going into kindergarten, why did they need his Social Security number? And if I wasn't the owner of Better Qualified, I would have just given his Social Security number. But school districts, unfortunately, today are selling that data to third-party companies for marketing.
Wow, that could be dangerous.
It's very dangerous. So if you're registering a child for school, do not give the Social Security number. If you're going to see a new doctor, don't give them your Social Security number. You don't have to. So if they absolutely refuse to work with you, you know, you could have a case where you might want to file a complaint with the FTC or the CFPB, but I would also maybe consider going to a new doctor if they're not willing to take you without using your Social Security number.
Well, how would they know that you're you? I mean, let's go back to this situation. What if somebody walked in and said they were me? How would they know?
They wouldn't know. So unless they do at least a secondary authentication where, you know, whether it's biometrics, fingerprints now are being used all over the place on our phones. But if they just take the documents for face value, they have to assume that it's you. So without a secondary authentication, this is why.
So basically, we have nothing in place to protect us.
That's what I said before. There really is no such thing as identity theft protection. You know, when you look at, we talked about data breaches, you know, last year, 2014. The average time from the infection, the virus, where it's getting in the POS systems or something like that, it's 8 months before it's detected.
Wow.
So no one can protect us. You just had the Department of Homeland Security, the Office of Personnel Management, our government, the federal government can't protect our data. We as consumers have to do some level of, you know, I don't want to say protection, but we have to do some level of activity, proactive stuff on our part to help lower the risk of becoming a victim. And folks, it happens every 2 seconds. Someone becomes a victim of fraud and identity theft every 2 seconds in this country.
Wow, that's startling.
Hey, Trey, now, I want to ask the gentleman from Animac, what happens if I'm a consumer and I hear this information, What can you say to assure them that this doesn't happen? And you told me about the encryption and so on, but it's sometimes out of your hands. Don't you have a loan officer that might be on the road in a kitchen or something? What happens when it's person-to-person outside an office arrangement?
I mean, obviously, our business is dealing with humans, and like you said, someone's out on the road. Anything could always happen. But the one thing I can tell you is, like any other good organization, you know, if anything were to slip through the cracks, we're going to do our best to get everything rectified. And whether that's, you know, going to see, you know, one of our credit providers to help us out with getting these things taken care of, that's what we'll do.
A good example of that is...
Okay, hold that thought. Scott, we have to go to break. And again, if you are listening to the show and you have a question or you'd just like to jump in to this discussion, please give us a call at 914-693-5700.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO Pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138. Or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, AnniMack Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. AnniMack Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. AnniMack won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call AnniMack Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. AnniMack Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. AnniMack Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call AnniMack.
And we're back. And we were just talking to Jeff from AnniMack, and you had some information that you were talking about during the break.
Yeah, I said one of the, you know, talking about identity theft and things like that, that people don't realize is we've run something called a verification of tax return called the 4506. So when you apply for a mortgage now, if that's what you give us, we check it out with the government, make sure that it matches up for everybody's protection. So what we found with mainly self-employed consumers, they usually tend to file their taxes later on because they usually owe to the government. It's a natural process. So when they file, they think nothing happens, they send in their rebate. So when we get the 4506 back, it doesn't match what they put on their tax return. And they found that someone stole their identity, actually filed a W-2, which didn't match anything that they put, and got a refund to actually a prepaid credit card.
Nice.
And this is about 3 or 4 times we've seen this, and it's completely frustrating. It totally stops the process. You have to go back and forth with the IRS, and it's kind of a nightmare for consumers. So love to hear your take on how to protect yourself from that.
Yeah, so again, you know, the IRS doesn't cross-check any information with the credit bureaus themselves or the Social Security Administration. So it's actually very easy to file fraudulent tax returns. The one thing, folks, this is a big takeaway from the show. One of the ways that you can stop that from happening is you have to go online to the IRS and establish your tax return profile online, even if you are never going to use it. The way that these identity thieves are getting this done so quickly is they're establishing your online profile for you, unbeknownst to you, before you file your tax returns. So even if you're not going to use the online filing system, go on and establish your profile, protect it with a PIN and password, because then when the identity thief looks for an unestablished profile, you're not one of them. And it's a very, very simple task that you can do to help prevent you of becoming a victim of tax return fraud. And that's one of the fastest growing segments of identity theft itself.
How do you do that? Where do they go?
Right. You go to the IRS.org website and file your online profile.
All right.
Jeff, what happened in those cases? Those few people who saw that their tax returns were filed for them erroneously, what they do?
Contact the IRS. You work with an agent there, and you try to just unwind the whole situation. It's very common, believe it or not. So they know the call's coming, and you just document everything that happened. And usually it takes about 45 to 60 days to get it cleared up. But it does stop the process. If you're trying to buy a home, it could really trip you
and
up.
And there's
a
possibility they lost that home, and they got to go and get a different house after that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So basically everyone is vulnerable, and I would imagine that children and the elderly are the top, right? Is that correct, Paul?
Yeah, children are 51 times more likely to be a victim of identity theft, and probably the most unfortunate, saddest stat I've ever heard is that 30% of those crimes are actually committed by family members. So in your own home, you know, take some precautions to, you know, safely store all of your children's sensitive data information, because it might not be, you know, someone comes by to do maintenance on the home or a cleaning service. It may actually be somebody in your own family, and I know you don't want to think about that, but the reality is that 30% of the victims in childhood identity theft was actually committed by a family member. So if you want to check your child's credit profile, believe it or not, you can and should do this now. That's why children are so attractive to the identity thieves. If they steal a 2-year-old's identity, it might be 15 years before someone is actually made aware of that when they apply for their first student loan or buy a car. But you can go onto the credit bureau's websites, either Equifax, TransUnion, or Experian, and file what's called a child identity inquiry. And the credit bureaus will then scour their databases to see if any credit profiles have been set up under your child's Social Security number.
So, Paul, I didn't get some of that. How could someone born in 2012 have credit?
Well, they might not have credit. But
how could they have?
But they have a Social Security number.
Exactly. They have a Social Security number,
yeah,
and they could start to... They're going to start to build a credit profile. They might get a secured credit card. They might be able to lease a car. They might be able... You know, they're working in conjunction with other people that might co-sign for the original borrower. So they're starting to establish... to build accounts. They don't have any accounts. And remember what I said before. A lot of times... they're stealing the child's identity not to take over an account or even open up a credit card. They're stealing the child's identity to get a job. Maybe they're an ex-con. Maybe they're a child predator. They're stealing the child's identity to file false tax returns. So they might start to establish lines of credit under the child's Social Security number, but a lot of times they're stealing the ID in what we call true name identity theft, and that's where they're assuming the child's identity for every other thing, aspect of their lives.
Hmm. And from a banking perspective, you come across one of those guys, Anthony. What do you turn them into authorities? I mean, what's your duty?
Well, you know, it's not common for us to come across the actual identity thief. You know, we usually deal with the consumer having gone through this terrible issue. So what we do, like we said before, is we do our best to try to amend the situation for them, get them over to our credit provider, get them some relief, and, you know, get them back on track.
How about education? I mean, not everyone's going to have, obviously, the information Paul does, but, I mean, someone like Paul, do you have someone on staff or access to this information at least? What do you think?
All of our loan officers are trained in credit. One of the main things that we do, we send our folks down to headquarters for sales training, for product training. We discuss with them the ins and outs of credit. This is, you know, the pinnacle of really what we do as loan professionals. You know, we discuss people's credit. We work on their credit with them, and we try to find a fit in terms of a product based on their credit. So our guys and gals are really informed very well on how to do this.
Yeah, I mean, we have internal continuing education as well on top of what the NMLS regulates for loan officers to take. So, I mean, we're kind of overloaded on compliance and training internally.
So, obviously, when people are looking for homes and work with realtors, what kind of efforts do you make to let the realtor know that, that your their referrals or any clients you have in common are protected? Is this constant education as well with the realtors?
Yeah, I mean, building that relationship and trust, I think that's the first and foremost thing that we like to do as far as our processes and things like that. I mean, realtors want to go know that, A, their client's protected, handled with white gloves, and it's going to close if it has to close. So, I mean, we kind of embody the entire circumference of the customer service with the realtors as well.
Okay, I have a question for you, Paul.
Yep.
So I work for a Canadian company, so I travel to Canada quite often. Every time I cross the border, my bank card gets frozen, and they tell me that they have to do this for my protection. And now they're telling me the only way to avoid that from happening is to have a chip put into my card. Tell me about that.
Well, that's happening here. Again, I'll use the word unfortunately. We're way behind the technology when it comes to the new chip cards. It's happening. They're being the POS systems are being installed across the country, but it's just not fast enough. And maybe you'll hear it here first. By the time we employ this new technology, we're going to need something different.
Wow.
You know, they've been using the chip card in other countries like Canada,
right, like Canada
for years. And
we don't swipe there. We have to insert the card. Yes.
You plug it in. But, you know, the United States has just been very slow to adopt this new technology, and it's costing, look, it costs the credit cards lots of money, but I don't think anybody here feels badly that their profits went from $50 billion to $49.9 billion because they needed to do something to help protect us. Again, I'm the first person to say it's not the institution's fault. No one can stop and completely, protect against these cyber attacks. But at least take some steps to help lower the risk. And not using the chip technology over the past couple of years was just simply a travesty within our, you know, banking and consumer system for sure.
And why was that? Because we did have the technology. It was available.
It's money. It comes down to they have to change the POS systems to accept this new chip technology. They have to reissue all new credit cards with the chip, encoded in there, and it costs them lots of money. And they didn't want to do it. They lobbied, the government not to have to do it. And they stood behind him for a long time, and until it got to a breaking point, and the CFPB actually steps in and says, now you have to do it. You know, mm-hmm. Every week there was a data breach, so what were we waiting for in the first place?
Right. Yeah, you talk about data breached. In 2014, data theft reached record levels. You know, what was going on there?
Well, it's the same thing. You know, as fast as the technology comes in, I was the first person to talk about, you know, not using Apple Pay, not using mobile devices, which is near field communications.
Are you saying not to use?
Not
Apple
to
Pay?
Use.
Oh,
believe
why?
Me.
Why?
Because it's unprotected. Even though the information is encrypted, it's a wireless transfer of information. And whenever you have that situation, it's easy for the cyber thieves to use receivers to take that information, and then they're able to, even if it's encrypted, to use it somehow to then get to the actual account information.
See, I didn't know that. They say how secure it is and that it's better. I did not know that.
Well,
so Apple Pay is definitely
Apple has a lot of money to spend on, you know, propaganda and advertising. And if you just do a little due diligence, you can go Google it yourself, the problems associated with Apple Pay.
Okay. So you mentioned something else. You said Apple Pay. What else should we not be using?
Well, you shouldn't be using credit cards online. And here's another simple,
ever?
Ever. Here's another simple way to protect ourselves. Believe it or not, the holiday season is upon us, right? You want to start buying gifts, you know, and stuff like that. Use a gift card as opposed to a credit card online, because if someone steals the gift card information, they'll only have access to what's left on the gift card.
But don't buy the gift card online.
No, don't buy the gift. Go to the store and get the gift card, right. And never use your debit card as a credit card, or never use your debit card as a debit card, because once you use your PIN, now they don't just have access to your credit card, they have access to your debit card, which is linked to your savings account and your checking account. Never ever use your debit card like a debit card.
And everyone does that.
And here's the other problem. We talked about the default on Facebook. The default for the merchants is for you to use it as a debit card. Why? Because it costs them less money to process it as a debit card. So when you swipe your card at wherever, it says, what's the PIN? You actually have to take another step to say, I want to use it as credit. But do it. Use your card as credit. Never use it as a debit card.
PayPal?
PayPal seems to be secure. Again, how secure is it? I always say it's a matter of when, not if, they're going to get hacked. So, again, folks, the idea is to protect yourselves and do what you can to, you know, secure your information, whether it's shredding documents. Look, dumpster diving is still like the second or third way that these thieves are getting our information. So if you're not cross-shredding all of your sensitive documents, you're leaving yourself wide open.
And it's not just us cross-shredding. It's who we're giving our information to. How do I know what you do with my information once I give it to you? Well, now that I know I'm not supposed to give it, though.
Exactly. So you talk about giving
it. But I've given it out.
And you talk about giving information, and certainly the guys from Annie Mac know this. You know, I was a loan officer, and I used to be able to call people, cold call. Mm-hmm. And get them to give me their Social Security number in 2 seconds.
Absolutely.
And don't do it. You know, you don't know who, unless you call them, you know, don't, you know, wait for that phone to ring or listen to the guy on TV at night or the radio. You know, you have to know who you're dealing with. And unless it's a bank like Annie Mac, you know, and you a trusted, you know, service provider, don't give your Social Security number to anyone, especially if they're calling you or you receive an email asking you for that information. Your bank will never send you an email asking for sensitive data. Never.
So the only person that we should ever, or only place that we should ever give our Social Security number to is a bank. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
And never give it to anyone else. Not a doctor, not a dentist, no one, ever.
Last I checked, doctors and dentists aren't giving any money. Mm-hmm. They're not in the finance business, so they don't need your Social Security number.
Okay, good information. So thank you very much for being on the show today. Are there any other topics you want to touch on? We have about a minute left, and I know you're here. We want to tap into all of your knowledge.
Well, when you talk about the doctors and dentists also, there's a thing out there called Care Credit, and I hate to bash it because it was done with good intentions, but don't apply for this credit card to get, like, dental work is a very common thing that we see on credit reports now. The problem with it is it becomes a maxed out credit card immediately. You need $7,000 worth of dental work, braces, orthodontics, whatever it is. Guess what the credit limit on your credit card is? $7,000. So you've effectively now just maxed out your credit card. It's the same thing with home equity lines of credit. You're better off getting a home equity loan 99% of the time, because a home equity line of credit is a revolving line like a credit card. And most often, people max out their lines of credit. And how long is it going to take you to pay off that credit card?
Thank you very much. How do we reach you, Paul?
Well, we've done something here special for the show, and we're going to use texting because nobody likes to call anybody anymore. So if you text WFAS to 40691, again, text us WFAS to 40691. We're going to give you a free copy of your credit report. We'll give you 3 free months of credit monitoring, and you'll speak to a live credit expert about your credit.
Perfect. Thank you. And Jeff, how do we reach you?
You can call us at 888-242-1313.
Oh, people are calling.
Yeah, they're calling already. That's great.
Try that again. I think we got interrupted.
Okay.
You can reach Annie Mac Fair Loan Branch at 888-242-1313 or anniemac.com, and you hit apply now.
Is that the same way we can reach Anthony Petraziello?
I'm always in the office. You'll find me there.
All right. Awesome. And Scott, how do we reach you?
Easily, 914-879-8411.
I'm Victoria Rivadeneira. Thank you very much for being a part of the real estate revolution. I can be reached at victoriariva.com.